AM and W248DE broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
Locally grown radio from Vesper to Plover, we are your home for news talk and sports. 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Facet Wealth.
Linda Kenyon in Washington. For almost 30 years, Grant Wall wrote about soccer. He collapsed and died yesterday while covering the World Cup in Doha. CBS's Roxana Saberi now back in London after covering the early round matches.
Born in Mission, Kansas, Wall graduated from Princeton University and went on to become one of the most renowned soccer journalists and authors in the U.S. In a statement, U.S. Soccer said Wall played a major role in helping to drive interest in and respect for our beautiful game, adding, "We are devastated that he and his brilliant writing will no longer be with us."
Wall was 48 and was a CBS Sports contributor. His wife, Dr. Celine Gounder, is a CBS News contributor. COVID on the rise again.
A couple big cities are suggesting you mask up again because they're seeing high levels of COVID cases. In Los Angeles, cases have soared nearly 63%. They're urging residents to wear face coverings indoors and in public settings. And while it's not mandatory, health officials in New York also want kids to wear masks in schools again.
It can't hurt. I'd rather my kid not get sick than protect her friends.
Stacy Lynn, CBS News.
WNBA star Brittany Griner remains at a San Antonio airbase getting medical treatment after she was released from a Russian prison. CBS's Christina Ruffini has more.
The prisoner exchange, a one-for-one swap for international arms dealer Victor Boot, did not include American Paul Whelan, a former Marine detained in Russia on espionage charges for almost 4 years.
I wish that Paul Whelan had been on that plane too. We've been doing everything possible to bring him out.
That's U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken. Morocco has beaten Portugal 1-0, as we hear on Fox Sports.
All eyes now on the referee. It's official. An African breakthrough. Morocco are World Cup semifinalists.
Morocco has now become the first African team to reach the World Cup semifinals. A joint winner of the Nobel Peace Prize is Oksana Matrovchuk of Ukraine's Center for Civil Liberties. At an awards ceremony today, she denounced Russian President Vladimir Putin for his war in Ukraine.
Ми маємо почати реформу міжнародної системи.
Matrovchuk said, "We have to start reforming the international system to protect people from wars and authoritarian regimes." Due to the Russian bombing of Ukraine's energy infrastructure, Matrovchuk said she had to write her Nobel acceptance speech by candlelight just hours before the ceremony. Meanwhile, Ukraine's President Zelensky says Russian forces have turned the city of Bakhmut into ruins as they try to conquer eastern Ukraine's Donetsk province. This is CBS News.
Facet Wealth is an SEC-registered investment advisor. They offer customized financial planning for you, not just your assets. Learn more by calling 888-598-3966.
Did you know there's a conservative advocacy and benefits organization with over 2 million members and counting? It's AMAC, the Association of Mature American Citizens. Hi, this is Mary Walter. Here are three reasons why you should consider joining AMAC right now. First, AMAC saves you money from discounts on travel and lodging, cell phones and plans, access to insurance products, and more. Joining AMAC is a powerful tool against inflation. Second, with a bi-monthly magazine, daily website content, podcasts with America's thought leaders, and an app that delivers insightful coverage of the issues that matter most, AMAC is a trusted source of information. And third, the reason that people say is their favorite, is that AMAC fights for your conservative values on Capitol Hill. With more than 2 million members, AMAC is a voice that cannot be ignored, working tirelessly to preserve the freedom secured by our Constitution. Go to amac.us/liberty and join today. That's amac.us/liberty. amac.us/liberty.
The way we use our homes is changing. And as your local Carrier experts, we're here to help you improve your indoor comfort. From optimizing the performance of your heating and cooling system to ensuring your indoor air is cleaner and healthier, we're committed to delivering premium comfort and helping you breathe a little easier.
Carrier is a proud partner of Wisconsin Athletics. Contact the experts at 1-800-CARRIER or carrier.com.
What is dedication?
My biggest fear in the middle of my addiction was that my kids wouldn't have a father. I overdosed on heroin, and I lived. And I started thinking, you know what? This isn't my story. My desire to change had finally outweighed my desire to stay the same. I felt powerless for so much of my life. It's important to me that my kids are empowered and truly believe that if they can think it, they can do it. I definitely had to become a better man to be a better father. For the first time, I finally feel like I'm exactly where I should be, where I want to be.
That's dedication. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Cloudy skies this afternoon with snow likely. Daytime highs approaching 34. Winds out of the southeast 5 to 10 miles per hour. Overcast skies again tonight. Mixed precipitation possible at times. Lows dip down to about 28. Overcast skies tomorrow. Highs level off around 35. A dusting of snow today.
For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki.
Currently, it's 33.
Locally grown radio, your home for news, talk, and sports from Rudolph to Nakusa. 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. We are in our final hour. Thank you for listening, wherever you are, in any of the states, in any of the cities that we air in, all across the Civic Media Network, on the app, on the podcast. We're happy that you're here. It's December.
It is.
This year has gone by really quickly.
Well, you had a whole bunch of things going on this
year. I did.
Year.
But yes, this year was very fast. Lots of things happened. The holidays are here, which is very exciting. It is the happiest time of the year, some would say. Maybe not everyone agrees with that. But I will say one thing that makes me very happy is Christmas lights.
I agree.
And it's one of those, I think when I started the week and I said one of the things I learned on vacation is variation is important. Because I do catch myself on, as soon as the Christmas lights go up around any city, everything just looks prettier. And there's always a part of me that says, well, why can't we just have these up all year round? Not necessarily the distinctive, you know, Santa Claus is everywhere.
And the red and green and all that stuff.
Yeah, but like the pretty white lights. And it's like, well, maybe if they were up all year round, I wouldn't appreciate them as much. But right now, for this month, driving by the lights, driving by the decorations makes me very happy.
I agree with you. And I suggested years ago that when we take down our lights, perhaps in March, wouldn't it be nice to have some like light up daffodils or something, or light up tulips?
Yeah,
some light
up
early flowers of spring, you know, you kind of get that going, because it does seem really dull when everybody turns them all off, and then we have to wade through February and March.
And especially in this state, because the worst months of winter are basically once all the Christmas lights are gone. And so it's just like brown, sludgy snow.
Yeah.
It's still 5 degrees outside. Everyone just wants spring to come, and we don't have any decorations to at least bring a smile to our face. But
that'll be our side hustle, Kristen.
Exactly. So, you know, we love a good national holiday, national observance, and there is plenty today. One of which is, it's National Christmas Lights Day. So we want to hear from you on what are the must-not-miss Christmas light display, holiday display spectacles in your part of Wisconsin.
And it might just be a particular house that really goes
totally
all out.
One house that you love, one park that really goes out, like does it big. We want to hear where is the, what in your town is just lights up, excuse the pun, for the holidays. 844-967-2789. But it's also National Peppermint Bark Day.
Who knew?
You do now. But it was kind of interesting. Williams-Sonoma. I did not realize the connection of Williams-Sonoma, the retail store.
The fancy cookware store.
The fancy cookware store. So this is the history of, I guess, kind of like peppermint bark in general, but specifically why it became a thing. So in 1998,
Williams-Sonoma debuted the, all caps, the original peppermint bark, trademarked, which is now often copied but never matches in quality or flavor. I say this, I had peppermint bark at my wedding. I don't know if you remember that.
I don't.
Crafted in small batches with no added artificial flavor or color, this top quality bark, you know, bark, is made with custom blend of chocolate and triple distilled peppermint oil. And Williams-Sonoma spends 12 weeks every year making peppermint bark just for the holidays. They, you know, they add it to their cookware responsibilities, but this is a thing for them. And it took more than 20 rounds of testing to settle on the final perfect recipe for their peppermint bark. And it takes more than 24 hours to make a batch from start to finish.
Wow.
And today, 18 products bear the peppermint bark name at Williams-Sonoma.
And this is almonds and chocolate and peppermint, essentially.
Essentially. Yeah. And so, but this is, I get all these, if any of anyone's ever interested, on nationaltoday.com. And it's funny because they added all these, like, stats about, and like polling. One was like, Americans love peppermint bark. We asked 2,000 Americans how they feel about peppermint bark. 53% love it.
There are 330 million people in this country, and you ask 2,000, and we all love peppermint bark now?
And then they have a map of the country, and
where it's pro peppermint bark.
Yeah, which states are more or less pro peppermint bark? So states that love peppermint bark the most: California, 86%.
Wow.
Washington State, 90%. Texas, Oklahoma, 80%. We're 75. Wisconsin is 75% of us love peppermint bark. So there's some fun facts for you today. It is also National Cookie Cutter Day.
Oh, I love that.
Do you know that originally, before they were called cookie cutters, they were called biscuit cutters?
That makes sense. Mm-hmm. But came from England.
Came from, well, kind of.
Oh.
So, some more fun history. Cookie cutters made of ceramic or wood were first actually found in Egypt in the year 2000 BC.
Come on.
Yeah.
What, were they like sacred cat cutouts or something?
That's a good idea. The cat eyeliner. I don't know. I mean, that's just what it says, that there was something to mold or to cut dough of some sort.
That's fascinating.
Isn't it funny?
Yeah.
And then, but it wasn't until the 16th century that cookie cutters became popular. And it was because of the gingerbread man. Mm. Or woman, if you want to get into that
PC
ridiculousness. The gingerbread pattern. So the kings started this custom, and gingerbread cookies were frequently served to Queen Elizabeth I's court. And then once the gingerbread cookies became famous, it was basically people started talking about gingerbread biscuits, and more bakeries around the region in England started using the cookie cutters, making these gingerbread cookies. And then by the 1800s, tin cookie cutters were easy to find at any small shop. And then it got the first biscuit cutter in the United States popped up around 1875. And there you go. Do you have a favorite cookie cutter? Are you a baker?
I do like to bake.
Okay.
And I will get together usually with one of my sisters and nieces, a couple of my nieces, and we will do a Saturday and do some baking. I have my mother's original cookie cutters, and she probably got hers in the 50s, assuming. So there's a reindeer cutout that I really like.
Okay.
It rarely looks like a reindeer.
I was going to say, that's when the intricate cookie cutter, you have to be careful because if there's too thin on one side, then all of a sudden there's nubs breaking off and you can't recognize what it's supposed to be. And
yeah, we always lose the antlers, and then it looks like a bad dog. And there's an old-fashioned bell-shaped.
Bells, I always feel like, were pretty easy. Like, it was hard to screw up a bell.
Yeah, and it's been pretty easy to decorate, too, because we always find that the first dozen cookies, I'll get really intricate with toothpicks. With toothpicks and designing and following all the lines, and by this 37th cookie, you're like, just give me some frosting. I'm throwing some sprinkles on it. We're done.
Just move on.
Wrap it up.
That sounds about how it went in our house, too. But
What about you? Was that a family thing for you?
It was certainly a family thing. And now it's like, I don't know. It's funny how the home ownership marriage thing, all of a sudden I feel like we're building traditions. So we will be decorating, speaking of national Christmas lights. Debbie Bry is currently at my house. I think she's Christmas-fying my house at the moment, but we're decorating the tree tonight.
She's gonna elfify your house.
Oh my God. Well, our house growing up every year, I think I literally heard my brother in the other room while I was prepping for the show today. He's like, Mom, you're like the mother of Christmas. And she goes all out. And so it's always been, like, now that I have a house, I think the desire to decorate in the interior, on the exterior, and get into it and have storage for said Christmas decorations to sit there 11 months out of the year.
Get a colored bin. Get a green or red bin so you know where all the
which
stuff
ones it is. Yeah, yes. Exactly. And so we're certainly starting to build our own traditions for Mike and I, but certainly in our house growing up, Christmas cookies, all the cookies were a thing. But I remember that specifically. It's pretty much what you said. There were certain shapes that were easier to make sure that they kept in their form.
Yep.
There were certain shapes that were more fun to decorate. But then by the end, and it was always messy. You can probably imagine that I am not a kid who colors in the lines, and so I certainly was not a kid who was necessarily good at frosting cookies.
So you weren't doing toothpick art like I was.
No. And it just got everywhere. And so, but yeah, I'm excited. I think tomorrow, as far as getting back to the question of what Christmas spectacles in Southeast Wisconsin do you always try to take in?
Well, there is, and I was thinking about this driving home yesterday. If you head eastbound from Highway 100 on Burleigh.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's a golf course that will be on the south side. There is a house on the north side that must have been an old farmhouse that's probably from the late 1880s. They go all out, man. And it's a big two-story. So I'm always really impressed with people who can do the arch, you know, in the front of their house that requires an extension ladder, because that's not easy to do.
It's literally putting your neck on the line for your Christmas lights.
Yes, it is. And they do every single window and just nothing is missed. It's really spectacular. And of course, as you mentioned, Candy Cane Lane in mm-hmm. West Dallas has been there forever. I believe Berna Botanical Gardens does something now.
Oh, I haven't seen that one.
I might be wrong on that, but I know that there's a big display in Waukesha. And yeah, there's always something to go see.
Yeah, so we want to hear from you. 844-967-2789. What are the big Christmas lights or displays in Rapids or Wausau or Amory? Or I should be able to think of, I'm sure the Capitol's all lit up in Madison.
Oh, I would imagine.
But other things in Madison, Richland Center, I'm trying to think of other. Isn't there another thing in the Milwaukee area that is I'm like the Chinese light displays that are really, it's really beautiful.
Is that for Christmas though?
I thought it was during December.
We'll check.
Which doesn't feel like there's necessarily a Chinese holiday that overlaps with that, but I have to look that up at the break.
We'll check during the break. And we have a cookie text too that we'll come back.
Oh, we'll come back and talk to that. So yeah, we want to hear from you. 844-967-2789. That is 844-96-PARTY. What are the Christmas displays that you always look forward to that you want to recommend that other people check out and appreciate because it is National Christmas Lights Day. So when we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about doing stuff for the holidays, traditions, things going on this weekend as far as National Christmas Lights and all the things that are happening. So stick with us. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
The possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early, and it only takes 60 seconds. You stop smoking, now start screening. For an easy quiz to see if you're eligible, visit SaveByTheScan.org. It could save your life. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian.
I'm really trying hard not to go insane from the mind screw that is this situation. Yes. With I was going to say the GAB, but now it's the WEC, which is audited by the LAB, and then it's now screwed up by the GOP, and we're all SOL. Good for us. Congratulations.
Look at all those acronyms.
Yeah.
We're the winners.
Tune in for Dueling Tangents every weekday at 2.
We all make promises, big and small, tested over time and distance, tried by circumstances and decisions.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America.
I do solemnly swear to bear true faith and allegiance.
To help you when you're in need.
To tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
To be considerate and caring. Courageous and strong.
For better.
For worse.
In sickness and in health.
To love and cherish.
To be your loving, faithful friend.
Partner.
Child.
Parent.
Neighbor.
One of our most important commitments is to support our nation's veterans. Learn how you can help a veteran going through a difficult time by visiting MakeTheConnection.net.
Your hometown news talk and sports station is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. If you don't know that song and why Jane Matinere, in all of her wisdom, would play that song with this topic, it's because it's called Light 'em Up.
It's a great song.
It is a really good song.
Yeah.
Because we're talking about it's National Christmas Lights Day.
Yay.
And so probably at a lot of spots, I think Christmas lights and holiday lights and displays have already been up. But certainly now is the appropriate time that they should all be up. And we're asking you, what's your favorite display in your area in Wisconsin? Is it a singular house? Is it a park? Is it a botanical garden? 844-967-2789. I know the collaborative effort that goes into Candy Cane Lane in Southeast Wisconsin, because it's not, it's just, I feel like it must be part of the contract when you buy a house in that neighborhood.
You got to know what's coming.
You're like, well, this is what we do as a neighborhood. Every single house goes all out, and then thousands of people drive zigzag around the block looking at everyone's house
for the
month of December.
Yes.
And so you don't want to be the one house that decided, well, we're not really into it. What do you do if you move into one of those houses and you're Jewish?
Put up a big light at a menorah.
There you go. All right. Yeah.
I think that would work.
So it is a spectacle, though, to have that much collaborative effort.
Everybody puts up with it. Because it's got to be inconvenient when you want to get out of your own driveway.
Yes. Although that is one of the things that I appreciate. This was not a thing in Madison, I don't think, unless there's certain neighborhoods. But so often in the neighborhoods around Milwaukee, there's the back alley to get to your garage.
True.
Versus needing to back in, like your driveway that backs into a traffic line of Christmas light viewers. And so I don't know if that neighborhood is one of those where at least you have a back way to escape your house.
To your garage.
Yeah.
We had a texter from the 262. Thank you so much for texting in at 844-967-2789. Previous break, we were talking about Christmas cookies.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, my wife makes like 18 different kinds of cookies each Christmas. We give cookie plates to all our friends and family and our kids' teachers. My contribution, bourbon balls.
Ooh.
And some Buckeyes. I don't know what Buckeyes are.
That's Buckeyes are I think they're chocolate covered peanut butter.
Ooh.
And they look like little Buckeye nuts.
Oh, that sounds really good.
You know, not to be confused with the Ohio Buckeyes.
That's from Dave in the Shaw.
Oh,
he said that the Chinese lights display was in fall. That's what I thought.
Oh, okay. That's why I was like, maybe I'm forgetting this, and it's because it really has nothing to do with Christmas. But the One of my friends recently shared a recipe with me for, because I am a big fan of bourbon, as we learned when Steve Palick was here.
And yeah.
He told us the Kentucky Chew, which I still am doing.
Do you?
I do.
And it does make a difference.
It does make a difference.
I thought it was a joke when he first explained.
If you missed that episode, radio legend Steve Palick was here before I left for vacation, and he, big bourbon fan. I am a big bourbon fan. And he taught us that the right way to drink bourbon is in your first sip, you have to like swish it around your mouth like it's...
Like you're chewing
like mouthwash.
Something.
Or yeah, like you're chewing something, but also like it's like mouthwash. And that makes every subsequent sip, you can actually taste the bourbon versus the alcohol.
And instead of it just burning, it's smooth.
But I mentioned that because I'm going to try... In my limited baking, all the extra time I have to bake.
Yes, I'm sure you'll just be whipping up 18 batches of cookies.
Bourbon Rice Krispies.
That should be pretty easy.
Right? I grew up, and I always was a bigger fan of the peanut butter Rice Krispies more than the traditional just marshmallow ones. But I'm interested in trying these out because that sounds very good.
I'm just wondering... Those poor Krispies aren't very hardy. Doesn't the bourbon just make them go...
I don't know. I guess,
and they just evaporate?
Well, I'll make them and then I'll bring
and
them
then
in.
We'll find out.
We can find out.
All right.
But I looked up some of the other fun traditions, light displays around the state. So I guess up in Green Bay, it's the Garden of Lights at the Green Bay Botanical Gardens, which looks beautiful. It looks
I
like
bet.
There's a big walkway with a bunch of arches. It doesn't look like you necessarily had to get in a... Anyone had to get on a ladder to put them on, but it's beautiful. And then Olin Park, I forgot that. Olin Park in Madison has a bunch of different light displays of like characters and a Green Bay Packers helmet and stuff. Obviously Riverside Park in Milwaukee near downtown,
I didn't know they did that.
When I first moved to Milwaukee, I lived right by the Fiserv Center. Fiserv Forum, sorry. And I remember I moved here in October, so it was pretty recently after I had moved. All of those lights go up right on the river, and it was...
That's spectacular.
It was really pretty.
Mm-hmm.
Wisconsin Christmas Carnival of Lights, which happens in... where is this? I don't even know where it says that happens, but Oshkosh has the Celebration of Lights. In Sheboygan, they have Making Spirits Bright. These are just making. This is just making me happy looking at all these pictures. There's Country Christmas in Pewaukee, Holiday Festival of Lights, and Jingle Bus in Milwaukee. What's the Jingle Bus?
So you don't have to get cold.
Oh.
So you jump on board the Jingle Bus,
and they just take you to see all of the lights.
I think so.
Oh, that's fun.
And certainly, if you have Munchkins,
yeah. Who get cold and tired.
Them to walk and, yeah, so that's a nice way to get around and so you can see everything.
The Rotary Winter Wonderland in Marshfield and Candy Cane Lane in West Allis, as we already talked about.
There's no excuse if you need a fix on Christmas lights. You can certainly find it.
The Rotary Botanical Garden Holiday Light Show in Janesville. And so what do we miss? Let us know. 844-967-2789. Which Christmas light show... Are you looking forward to that we did not just list off? We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about what is American that's super weird to other cultures. All right. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
From Wisconsin Rapids to Stevens Point, your news, talk, and sports is 97.5 FM, locally grown radio.
When severe weather hits and the power goes out, do you have a plan? For reliable power and peace of mind, propane can do that.
It only takes about 10 seconds for a propane-powered generator to restore power to your home. So no matter what Mother Nature has in store, you know you're prepared. Learn more at WIPGA.org. This message is sponsored by your local propane provider and the Wisconsin Propane Education and Research Council.
Light the lamp.
All the way down, he scores! A 200-foot empty net goal for the captain.
And defend the ice.
Driving in, centering pass. Oh, great sliding left pad save.
This is America's college hockey capital.
Fire one towards the net, it scores!
This is your radio home for Wisconsin Badger hockey.
Right here on WFHR, locally grown radio, your home for Wisconsin sports.
Sweetie, want some fruit?
You have to use the right tool for the job. A power drill is the wrong tool to slice fruit. Just like an antibiotic is the wrong tool to treat viruses, including colds and flu. Antibiotics are only needed for certain bacterial infections. When they aren't needed, antibiotics won't help you, and the side effects could still hurt you. Ask your healthcare professional when an antibiotic is the right tool and when it's not. Visit cdc.gov/antibiotic-use.
Remember when you could turn on the radio and hear a song you'd never heard before? A song that would make you tap your feet, snap your fingers, maybe get up and dance a little? A song that once you heard it made you say, "That's a surefire hit." Those days are gone. Or are they? Tune in on Sunday nights from 6 to 8 p.m. and catch Seth Faces the Music on WFHR. The premise is simple. Every week, I pick a theme and find songs that fit the theme. It's so simple, yet so, so good. Join me, won't you, for Seth Faces the Music every Sunday from 6 to 8 p.m. on locally grown radio, WFHR.
Over the past few years, the COVID-19 pandemic has affected how we live our daily lives. Today, we also face a mental health pandemic that threatens our well-being as we attempt to rebuild our social networks and communities.
The pandemic has reminded us to value family, community, and our human connections. However, it has also left many of us feeling more isolated, confused, and alone, struggling to find meaning amid loss and uncertainty.
Today, 1 in 5 Americans experience emotional and mental health challenges. But many of us do not understand what we are facing or know how to ask for help.
At the American Psychiatric Association Foundation, we understand what you are going through, and we are here to help. Our vision is to build a mentally healthy nation for all. We work every day to eliminate stigma, combat mental illness and substance use disorders, and advance mental health. If you or someone you love needs help, you are not alone. Please visit mentallyhealthynation.org to learn more.
As long as there are veterans, the Benevolent and Protective Order of Elks will never forget them. Throughout the year, Elks members in your community lend a hand, donate money, volunteer time to enrich the lives of this nation's veterans. It's not something these dedicated Americans feel they have to do. It's something they want to do. Join with America's veterans in saluting the efforts of your local Elks Lodge. Elks Care, Elks Share. To find a lodge nearest you, log on to elks.org. In the past, you were involved with the Benevolent and Protective Order of Elks. Today, your local Elks Lodge and community needs your help more than ever. Why? Because needs for helping the youth, veterans, and our communities are greater than available resources. Please consider becoming involved again. Contact your local Elks Lodge and see how little it costs to become reinstated. Visit our website at elks.org. Elks Care, Elks Share.
A message from your Wisconsin Rapids Elks Lodge, number 693.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Cloudy skies this afternoon with snow likely. Daytime highs approaching 34. Winds out of the southeast 5 to 10 miles per hour. Overcast skies again tonight. Mixed precipitation possible at times. Lows dip down to about 28. Overcast skies tomorrow. Highs level off around 35. A dusting of snow today. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Vujicki. Currently, it's
33.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. So on this Giving Tuesday, we've been highlighting different organizations that you are excited about, people that you want to highlight, groups that you want to highlight that you should consider donating to, giving your time to. But now, for the next half hour, we wanted to highlight a local organization that you've probably heard of before, maybe have your own local chapter of. But Josh Barnacle, who is the Marketing and Communication Manager for St. Vincent de Paul Society of Waukesha County, is here. Welcome to the show.
Well, thank you so much. I'm glad to be here.
So, you know, we were just talking at the break, and I have to admit that most of the time when I think of St. Vincent de Paul, I think of it as a place where you can donate stuff to, or you can go thrift shopping at. But that is only part of the larger mission and programming, right?
Absolutely. And you're not far off. It's my first inspection of them was the same thing. I would go in and thrift shop and find cool, unique things. And that was my first experience to them as well. But yeah, St. Vincent de Paul is much, much more than that. There's so many different programs that we offer to the community, and they're all centered around helping the most needy at their times of most need. And the thrift stores are kind of the excellent vehicle for getting and generating funds to support those programs. We have like our summer lunch program, where children who really rely on the hot lunch meals throughout the school year in order to sustainably feed themselves throughout the year, they really use that as like a government type of subsidized form to really fill in those gaps. They don't have that during the summer because school is not in session. So it's something that we can provide to those struggling families of like, you make sure you have a meal, you have structure, you have that kind of routine that school helps to bring even when it's not in session. Our jail ministry programs really help trying to cut down recidivism. And one program that we have called Project Angel Tree, where a lot of the times people don't think that some of these incarcerated individuals, they have kids that they didn't do anything wrong. It's a victim of circumstance, and they deserve to have a good holiday and deserve to be able to celebrate as much as they can. So Project Angel Tree is a program that's focused on providing those kids presents and giving those incarcerated individuals an opportunity to talk to their kids. They're able to write a note and give a personalized address to their children for Christmas and give them that kind of connection that they wouldn't be able to get. And it's little programs like that, on top of rental assistance and providing appliances and furniture for those in need, in a much other, domestic abuse situations. We're a resource for a lot of people that don't have any place left to turn. And it's entirely funded and supported by the generosity of the communities that we service.
And so you're obviously in the Waukesha St. Vincent de Paul. Is this the same for every St. Vincent de Paul as far as they have their programming and that programming is funded by the store?
Correct. The programs themselves may differ slightly. Like certain ones will offer different programs that others don't, but they're all supported and funded in the same way through the generosity of people donating, whether that be financial support, clothing that they don't wear anymore, furniture that they've upgraded, things of that nature. As long as they can still be in serviceable and good cosmetic condition and would benefit somebody else, that's the kind of things that we take and we really appreciate, because it helps us, once again, generate those funds to help those that are in need in the community.
Josh, I'm so impressed by that angel program that you just mentioned about, getting presents for the kids of people who are incarcerated, because I think they get forgotten, and I think people may not necessarily be sympathetic, which is tragic.
I completely agree. It's a thing that's often overlooked, and they don't deserve that. They deserve to be able to be kids and enjoy themselves and have that special holiday time. And everyone in their life has made mistakes before. Like, no one is free of that. So, but they haven't even had the opportunity to have that happen to them, and they deserve to be able to have a good holiday season. And it's become kind of like my personal pet project. Like, it's one of my favorite programs because of that. And it's really special. So I really like to talk about it whenever I can.
Well, this is a great opportunity to talk about it. And so, for people who are now maybe feeling inspired to give in one way or another, I guess the first thing is when you donate stuff, what limitations, you just said cosmetically still works, but what are the limitations of this is not your dumping ground? But what, like, what should people keep in mind when they're thinking, they're going through stuff, they're getting rid of stuff, and what can be donated and what you should just get rid of?
Yeah, absolutely.
Throw away.
There's, I mean, there's always a fine line there, but generally speaking, we're looking for things that are in good working or cosmetic condition. We are also very sensitive to pet dander and smoke smells, because there's a lot of people that have allergies for those things, and efficiently cleaning them for us is something we can't always promise. So those are things that we tend to shy away from, but the amount of things that we do accept and can be useful to us and to others that come and shop in our locations is pretty vast. The main things that we wouldn't take are like mattresses if they've been used before, things that fabrics and textiles that are very difficult to clean like properly are things that we would mostly shy away from. But I think you'd be surprised by the amount of things that can be donated and are useful and beneficial to people.
So. Does that include, Josh, things like dishes and flatware, and, you know, you get a new set of knives for Christmas, and now I have a block of pretty good knives that I could, you know, give away. Do you take things like that too?
Absolutely, absolutely. And clothing, electronics, as long as they're still functioning, hard goods, which would be, you know, dishware, dinnerware, all kinds of different odds and ends of like home goods that we kind of categorize that as. We are open to taking pretty much anything and everything outside of, if you don't want it on your shelf or you don't want it in your house for some reason, we probably don't want it either, unless it's just like a I've upgraded situation or, you know, something like that.
It doesn't spark joy anymore.
Thank you.
Yeah, someone else should get joy from this thing. It no longer gives me any.
Exactly. If you wouldn't give it to like your child sending them to college, if it's below that bar, we probably should consider a recycling or a disposal service.
So besides donating stuff, what are other ways people can help St. Vincent de Paul? Is it volunteering? Is it monetary donations?
I mean, monetary donations are always king. They help the most because we're able to help extend some of the dollars, where if you were to go out and buy something, we're able to work within different discounts and other beneficiaries where we can make that dollar stretch significantly more. So it's always beneficial that way. But time is just as important. Even just coming into the store and helping us sort things, price things, put things on shelves. We have our book department is almost entirely run by volunteers. Everything's kind of automated through a computer there, so they're able to scan things, put the prices on it. They organize everything so well. Mark and Ruth Ann are great. I love them dearly. I love all of our volunteers, but I get to see them almost every day, so they're kind of special to me personally. But yes, volunteering your time is just as important and just as impactful as donating dollars. But yeah, there's so many different ways you can help out, both at the store level or at a council level at your local church conference, which we have 26 throughout the county. So yeah.
Great.
We spoke with someone, Josh, from Feeding America of Eastern Wisconsin, Southeastern Wisconsin, last week, and she had talked about how much the volunteers get out of it. And for some of these people who are retired and maybe a little bit more isolated or don't have a lot of family, this really becomes a second family for folks.
Oh, absolutely. And it's a great way for them to share their own personal strengths and gifts that they've had throughout their life to benefit others. But then there's also that sense of family and community that comes with it, where you have people that you can talk to every day and you have a renewed purpose, because what you're doing is directly helping people in the area that you live in. And it's part of the reason I go to work every day.
How long have you been working there?
I've been there for it was 8 years in November.
Wow.
So we're working on the decade. We're getting there.
Do you get a gold watch?
No, not
a donated
quite.
Gold watch.
I get another pat on the back, but that's about it. But
so going into the holiday season, are there unique challenges that always pop up around this time of year?
Absolutely. I mean, there's need throughout the year, but during the holidays, especially once things get colder, we work with different shelters around the area to be able to provide coats and things, and those are always incredibly, incredibly necessary once the temperatures start dropping. And there's always that influx during this time of year where giving is even more important and more special, just because of the season that it is. And a lot of the needs start to arise here. And St. Vincent de Paul is one of the other only organizations that's allowed to pay other people's utility bills.
Oh, interesting.
You know how they always ask you that question of like, are you sure this is you logging in to pay your bill? Where you're like, yeah, I make the joke all the time of like, please let somebody else pay my bill. I would love that. St. Vincent de Paul is one of the people that can actually do that. Very instrumental in preventing utility shutoffs for people, providing rental assistance, and really just helping people get back on their feet. And that happens a lot during this time of year as well, when once again it gets cold and you do not want that heat getting turned off, especially if you have small children. And we're one of the resources that prevents that from happening to people.
So is your job as the marketing communications person, mm-hmm. what is the balance between the fundraising side of it? And that encompasses getting people to donate money, donate stuff, volunteer. And then also the marketing and communication side of people knowing what resources are available if they need them.
It's a difficult balance.
Yeah.
And up until probably about a year ago, it's been mildly separated, where the programs were kind of in charge of doing that themselves, and I was strictly on the store side. And we've started to merge a little bit more, and I've been able to put a little bit more of my creative energy into getting notice out for some of these programs. And I mean, as far as resources go, the stores get a lot of questions about, I'm in need of assistance. Where can I go? What can I do? And since I handle all of the online and social media presence, I've had a hand in directing those people. Mm-hmm. So by proxy, I've become very involved with how majority of our programs work and that information. So I've been putting that out in as many different social media avenues as I can, working with a lot of other local organizations, like the Hope Center, which is not too far from where we are recording this right now, and other organizations like that in the area, like La Casa Esperanza, not too far from here, with employment services and things like that. So it's just getting the message out to as many people and in many ways as possible, because everybody kind of gets information in their own personal little way.
Yeah.
So this wide a net as I can to let people know where they can find help.
I always think about that in the sense of, we're so used to being, a lot of us are computer literate now, mm-hmm. and we get information through social media or through websites, and not realizing that there's a lot of people who don't have access to, I mean, they can use the library computers or whatever, but like actually still having the bulletin board, mm-hmm. and like the actual physical stuff, or considering how to reach people who don't necessarily have the phone or the laptop or whatever. And so it was such an interesting, like, so I was asked it because I was, how do you reach the people who need this most?
We do still a good amount of traditional print media, because for the exact reasons that you stated, there's a lot of people that, especially the ones that need the most help, don't have as readily connections to online mediums like that. So, I mean, we still do, like, you know, the billboards, and mm-hmm. we still do mailers from time to time, things of that nature, to make sure that those physical things are still out there outside, along with the digital.
All right, we got 1 minute left. So where's your fast pitch of where people can get more information?
It's pretty simple. You can go to svdpthrift.net, and that will show you where you can get assistance. It can also has a tab on the top right corner where you can donate directly to us, and you can even select a program that you would choose. So if you wanted to go towards something specific, you can. Otherwise, you can go directly to the Needy Family Fund, where it can go pretty much anywhere to any program that we offer.
Awesome. Josh Barnacle is the Marketing and Communication Manager for St. Vincent de Paul Society of Waukesha County. Thank you so much for spending time with us today.
Thank you so much for being so generous on this Giving Tuesday.
Absolutely. All right. Thanks so much. We're going to take one more break and then wrap up today's show. This is As Goes Wisconsin. Don't you worry.
Hi, this is J.R. Siewert of Coldwell Banker Siewert Realtors, and I'd like to invite you to tune in to Let's Talk Real Estate. Our next show is coming up, and we'll be talking about those things that are important to you, whether you're a buyer or a seller. So please tune in. We look forward to hearing from you and even taking your questions during the show.
That's Coldwell Banker Seward Realtors, your trusted source for real estate solutions. Tuesday morning at 10:30, right here on 97.5 FM and 1320 AM WFHR.
Quality Foods puts you first. No self-checkouts here. Get the groceries you want, bagged and loaded in your car if you'd like. That's quality service from real people you can expect. Delivery and pickup are available at West Grand. Visit QualityFoodsWisRapids.com. Or if you can't order online, just call West Grand and they'll take it. Don't forget the deli for delicious meats, cheese, salads, and complete hot and cold meals. Quality Foods, West Grand and Baker Drive. Locally owned and putting you and the community first.
Melissa from Michigan. I work an extra part-time job serving lunch at my child's school, but I still can't afford to put food on our table.
Daniel from California. Choosing whether to pay the rent or pay to fix the car to get to work doesn't leave us with much at all. Now we can't even pay for meals.
Hunger is a story we can end. End it at feedingamerica.org. Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk.
When we got back from the Working Class Heroes radio tour, one of the things that people asked is, what'd you learn? As you're going through rural America, what'd you find? Found angry people, and angry for cause. But the sad reality is they've been fed decades of outrage candy, and they're angry at the wrong people. They're angry at their neighbors. They're not angry at the very wealthy where they should be. Be sure to tune in live weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m. across the Civic Media Radio Network, and have your voice heard.
From the hometown of NASCAR's Dick Trickle, locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM, your news talk and sports station.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. Our guest this half hour is Jennifer Dunn, who is the director of the Waukesha District Attorney's Office Victim Witness Assistance Program. So I was checking out the Facebook page, and it seems like there, as much good work you do, it seems like there is someone who outshines everyone, which is Pepper the dog. And so what role does Pepper play in all of your work?
Pepper the dog, to be clear, is the most favored employee in the DA's office. And I'm reminded very frequently that she comes way above me. So we went on this sort of journey to get a comfort dog several years ago and made it happen or realize that dream at the end of 2020. And we now have Pepper, I should say, our courthouse facility dog. She is not a service dog. She was raised and trained as one, but I like to be careful about that because people, there's differences. Mm-hmm. So Pepper is not allowed anywhere. She has to have permission, but she is now the Waukesha Victim Assistance Canine Specialist and has the ability to be really anywhere on campus and has just done amazing things. We sort of knew having her would be a great addition to our services, but couldn't have imagined how amazing it's been. So I've been sold on the benefits of dogs to assist people, to help calm them down, to help ease anxiety for a long time, and just started getting more serious about it. The DA that we have, the county executive that we have, our county board are very supportive. And in my early research, I found a program called Journey Together Service Dog. Someone at that program answered my initial call as I was just getting some background information and spent about 2 hours on the phone with me. And I hung up that night knowing that was the organization I wanted to work with. Journey Together actually raises and trains service dogs for individuals, veterans with PTSD, and now have expanded to training and placing some facility dogs, some dogs for crime victims, and they, along with a number of amazing volunteers and their organization professionals, train those dogs in Oshkosh Correctional Institution. Inmates actually learn job skills by training the dogs. So I thought was just an amazing example of restorative justice, and that inmates would help train this dog to work with crime victims. So
I just kind of got chills. That's a great story. It's a great program.
It really is amazing. And probably shame on me, but in my career, I had not really toured prisons or looked at their rehabilitation efforts as a victim advocate and fairly strident, staunch one, if you ask anyone. I really hadn't paid much attention to that. So after working with them a little bit, I did go spend an evening at the prison participating in one of these classes, and it really gave me a whole new perspective on those programs for offenders and how wonderful it was, the efforts of both the inmates and the staff at the Correctional Institute to make that happen. The offenders who participate give up a lot of privileges in order to be part of that program and really take it very seriously. They even have a whole grooming setup there, and it's really profound. And I walked away wanting all of the dogs.
As we do.
The director of training for Journey Together said, no, we have to get you the right dog for the right program. And after a couple of years, Pepper became available, and they called me and said, we think we have the dog for you. And I was like, I don't want a lab. I don't want dog hair everywhere. And I have to convince the county that this is going to be a good thing. And they had me come to meet Pepper. And as I was leaving that morning, I said to my husband and daughter, now, listen, we have to keep our expectations in line here. So you have to help me and remind me as I'm leaving. And of course, as I was walking out the door, they were chanting, get the dog, get the dog. So I went up and met her, and then we arranged for a visit to the courthouse, and anyone who had any reservations, they were immediately, I think, sort of quieted by meeting Pepper. And she's just been phenomenal. She's worked with so many victims. Of course, only victims who choose. We make it very clear that this is optional. Staff have been great. I've worked at the courthouse a long, long time, as we've established. And I think there are many people who don't know my name, but they will scream Pepper across the building at me. And one day I was walking to my car to go to the doctor, and someone screamed out like the third story window, where is Pepper? Like, she's in the office. It's okay. I just have to go get my teeth cleaned or whatever I was doing. So.
And I bet too, Jen, it's not just kids who are comforted by Pepper. It's just people.
Exactly. I think when we were trying to establish this program, and we've really made it a program, we have custom Pepper activity books that explain the process for younger people, talk about the rules of testifying. We have some stuffed Peppers that we can give the kids. But I think when we had it in mind, of course, we were focusing on children, but it has just been an outstanding success with all ages. I didn't really think about some of the other age groups would reach. The first time that a young teenage boy was in our office and Pepper was there, he was very non-communicative. Who wants, you know, they don't want to talk to Jen. They don't want to talk to some middle-aged old lady, you know, about this very painful case they're going through. And as he was going to go watch his care center video, he said, well, can Pepper watch my video with me? And then I walked by the room, and he's sitting with his arm around the dog. I thought, oh, we've done a really good thing here.
Yeah.
Or, you know, we responded to a shooting at an industry, and that was a lot of mostly older men, again, who, if I walk around the room saying, I'd like to tell you about crime victim compensation, they might be polite and listen. But if I walk around the room with Pepper, pretty soon everyone's talking to me, and then I can sort of slip in that information about resources for them or ask them how they're doing. And again, with children, it's just been incredible and outstanding. The county has been phenomenal about it. The judges have been great. Everyone really has, I think, seen the benefit of this. In the new criminal court tower attached to our older buildings, we have a victim witness waiting room attached to every courtroom. So sometimes during sentencing or other hearings, Pepper is waiting in that room. And we had a sentencing of a case with a number of teenage sexual assault victims. And we had Pepper in that room, and they could come in and some of them would lay on the floor with her. They can hear what's going on in the other room. From there, we turn the volume up or turn it off. And so it's just been amazing.
I highly recommend going to the Waukesha County Victim Witness Facebook page, where you can see plenty of pictures of Pepper and find more information. We'll link all of this to our blog today as resources available to specifically Jen's program. But also, I would love to know more about how this exists in district attorney's offices across the state. So thank you so much, Jen, for joining us today. I'm happy that we ended on a lighter note with Pepper, but thank you for your work.
Oh, well, no problem.
All right. Stay with us. This is As Goes Wisconsin. We'll be back after the break.
Sweet strawberry icing.
You're in Goodwill and just
WFHR,
past
that WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
Stop surfing the dot.